Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, hello, and welcome to Define You Radio Classes in Session. I am your host, Valencia Grisham Wallace, and of course I'm joined by one of my beautiful queen co-hosts, hot seat co-hosts, Queen LaVon Copeland. Queen LaVon, if you want to go ahead and say hey to the audience.
Hello, everybody.
And hey, Queen LaVon. Today has really kind of been a long Tuesday. In fact, I thought it was Wednesday. If you guys caught my mistake on Facebook, I posted like Wisdom Wednesday. And mm-hmm. Queen LaVon, that's how you know when you got queens in your corner. She was like, no. And I was like, oh, my goodness, hopefully something special is going to happen tomorrow. You know, I always look for the goodies. So with that being said, make sure you guys are connected with us on IG, which is Instagram, and Facebook at Define You Radio, where you can find out, you know, the next show that's going on, know how to get in contact with me and my beautiful co-host. So this series has been something, and if this is you guys' first time listening, I definitely say go back a couple of episodes, because I think we started in November with our Leave It Behind in 2018, and I have been enjoying it. I've learned a lot, because all of us have been putting in our gumbo of knowledge. And especially last week when we talked about money, which was interesting. So what have you thought about the series? Do you think people are learning from it? You're getting a lot of good feedback with the Leave It Behind in 2018 series.
I really do. I think people are enjoying, because we're actually causing them to, like, stop and think, because some of the topics, you know, we started out with the price tag mentality, which was very popular, you know, with a lot of our Facebook followers. They were chiming in. And then when we talked about the type of people we should be leaving in 2018, I think that was a big one. And I think we actually gave people, you know, some background behind the types of people, but we also gave them some characteristics to look for. So I think people really enjoyed that. And then, of course, like you said, we talked about last week with the money mindset. You know, we're going to leave debt in 2018, because if we're queens and kings and we have our crowns on, we can't go into 2018 broke down and beat down. And, you know, so I think people are really loving the topic, because we're causing them to really prepare for 2019.
You said it so eloquently, and I was just going to say, yeah, I know a lot of people probably unfriended and unfollowed, especially when we went through our series, but we really need to do that with, I know myself personally, a lot of people I unfollow, I'm really getting more intentional with 2019, so you know, people that post negative or questionable stuff, I don't need to see it. I'm really getting more protective of my space, and I feel better, like no guilt. So,
and that's a great feeling.
What, to unfollow people,
and to do it and not have that guilt. And not have that guilt, because you know in the past when you've held on to that and you kind of go back and forth in your mind, like, you know, should I, or what if they need, you know, we play these games in our minds. So I'm thinking it's a great feeling when you can say, you know what, I can actually cut this person off, you know, and I'm okay with it, you know, and seriously be okay.
And especially when it comes to those FBFs. Your Facebook friends, your social media friends. I mean, let's just be honest about a few things. You don't know them. You don't have no connection with them. Just because they like and comment on a couple of your posts don't mean that you have some type of unwritten, unsaid loyalty. I think a lot of times we build relationships with no foundation. And a lot of times that's negative.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes. Because we do. I mean, we really do that. And then when we sat back, and I want to say someone had posted a meme or something on social media that said something to the same effect, that then when that person doesn't live up to our expectation, you know, we feel bad or we want to, you know, be mad at that person. But how can you be mad that they didn't live up to your expectation when you never set the foundation of what your expectations were?
Right.
Yeah.
That's like people, and it's funny, and guys, like, we're going to get into what we're talking about tonight in a minute, but this is really interesting, you know, because number one, with the holidays fast approaching, I don't know if this may or may not be the last show of the year. You know, me and my co-host are definitely going to discuss that, so we're going to give it all to you tonight. But I've seen so many people that fall in love, literally fall in love by somebody's social media, and then they start, okay, yeah, now we're gonna meet, and this is my new bae or my husband, or I'm so in love I never knew I could fall in love, and it's built on what? And then next thing you know, 2 months later, they've tried to wipe all social media evidence of this relationship that they built based off of Photoshops and good quotes with a dude or a girl. And but my memory's something. I'm just saying. So, you know, people don't realize, like, you have to, please believe, I'm not posting those ugly pictures of me. For instance, when I wake up in the morning with my glasses on, my bonnet, or anything like that. No, when Valencia posts pictures, Valencia's giving face, body, I'm sucked in and tucked right and everything else. You know, I'm not going to post most, you know, I've gotten better with my posts, but I'm not going to post how, you know, I was ready to chop somebody's head off in traffic or whatever else. You know, it's like, you know, so based on, like, we really need to get to know people and have, like you said, some requirements before we start friendships or start collaborating, and surely before starting a relationship. That's how people end up on the ID channel.
That is true. That is true.
You
and
know,
you see everybody talking about, I didn't think they were like that, or I didn't know. Did you take the time to investigate any of this stuff, learn something? Nope.
So I want to add that one to our people to leave behind in 2018. Like, really, really
it.
Look. Don't just look, because it's like when you meet people off social media and don't know who they are, and they look nothing like what they look like on social media. That's a topic for, that's a 2019 topic.
It is.
I'm just saying.
Yes.
One of the things I want to just quickly kind of throw out there, because I don't know about Queen LaVon, but I'm over 40. And as we get older, okay, I was 90% sure, but I didn't want to assume, because, you know, we retain our youth.
Girl, you the way out of hashtag the road to 45, I think everybody knows.
You know
45.
What? You are 100% correct. I blame it on a whole lot of stuff.
No,
I didn't remember that. Right.
I know, that's okay.
Or cold coffee. One of the things that me and Queen LaVon was having this conversation before we got on live tonight, that I've been having an issue with, you know, my CEO mornings, which is supposed to happen at 4:35 around that time. And I realized what it was. I take a supplement, and I think I've said this like probably a while ago, called MACA, MACA. And it is a natural supplement, and I've been taking it for a while, probably a little over a year. And as you grow older, your hormones get out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice way to say it. And it's not just women, men too, your emotions, different things with your body. So taking this supplement helps me get up in the mornings. It helps me kind of maintain. And I actually ran out of it because where I live here locally, where I live here in Louisiana, the only place I could get it is like either GNC or Walmart. And if I run out, I roughly have a 6 to 7 day window before it's out of my system, and I'm fighting to get up. I'm fighting my emotions all day, those different things. So I was saying, you know, I ran out, but now I could actually get it from Walmart. I meant to say the only place I could get it before was GNC or Amazon. But now I started back taking it. I was able to find it at Walmart because they're getting hip to the health and wellness thing. And so now, y'all, give me about 4 days. It'll be fully back in my system because it's a process getting it back in. But I do recommend anybody try that. All the brands that I've pretty much tried are really good. And you take a certain, like, do your research, look at what milligrams you need to take, so on and so forth. But that is something I take, so I should be back on my CEO morning soon. With all that being said, the pre-show chatter was trying to loosen y'all up before we get into tonight's show. So put that on your list, Queen LaVon, I'm telling you.
Oh,
to try.
Honey, I already got the page pulled up and looking at the different varieties while you talking.
I'm telling you, it changes your life. I ain't this happy all day.
I'm loving what I'm reading about it.
And that's the thing that we need to do research on. And when I say research, just natural things. And y'all know Queen Shannon is the one that's all about that life. Queen LaVon is about that life. I'm dipping and dabbing in that life. I'm dipping and dabbing. But as we get older, you know, we need to look at our bodies change. You know, so what I'm able to do at 41, about to be 42, it's a little different now. Every mm-hmm. month, every age, I'm discovering something new. You know, the sit-ups mm-hmm. getting a little harder, dealing with things are getting a little harder. So anything, especially if it's natural, that could help this aging process. Because mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Angela Bassett, Viola Davis, they are hashtag gold.
Yes.
For me.
God.
You know?
Yes.
Now.
Gold.
So you have to think. It's not that they know things we don't know, but if you look at their lifestyle, what we know about their lifestyle, and it's evident. They're not just talking the talk. It's evident in the way that they look.
Mm-hmm.
And no surgeries for neither one of them, as far as I know. So we have to be more mindful of the things that's out there that's available to us, because I'm going to tell you, it's easier to use something like that that's natural and will work with your body versus you having to go to the doctor later to get something with all those side effects, and you see one of those late night commercials and realize it's something you took. And then you in one of those big claims or whatever, lawsuits, whatever they call it.
I get so tired of the commercials.
Jesus. I know.
I mean,
tonight,
you see them over and over. Wow.
Right. And it makes you not want to take anything. I've never seen one natural supplements. So y'all need to look into that. Knowledge is power, only if you use it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that kind of is a segue with what we're talking about tonight, because one of the things I said is that maca does definitely help me with my moods and those hormones and those different things. And tonight we're talking about one of the issues in life that we all have dealt with. People really deal with this at the beginning of the year, and it's an issue that kind of stays around sometimes, and it sucks the life out of you, and it tends to linger, and it's self-doubt. So that's one of the things that we want to work on leaving behind in 2018. And I actually have a quote that I thought was really good. It says, when you doubt your power, you give power to your doubt.
Oh, that's good.
And it's from somebody named Honoré D. Balzac, and I'm probably messing their name up, but that's what it says. And I thought about that quote. I've given power to self-doubt before. You know?
I think we all have. You know, we've all been at that place where we've allowed self-doubt to be empowered because of our own actions and our thoughts. I think we all can relate to that.
It's self-doubt, I think, no, it's something nobody wants to say out loud. Nobody wants want to say, you know, I doubt myself or whatever. And the dictionary.com definition of self-doubt is lack of confidence in oneself and one's ability. And if you, especially if you're in this quote-unquote arena of life where you're mentoring people and you're around a lot of positive people, like the last thing you really want to kind of say is, hey, I'm doubting this is an area where I lack confidence. That's a hard thing to admit, but you know what comes to my mind? And yeah, I would have to go back and find the show, but when we did a show, we were talking about me speaking at the DARE conference.
Oh, yes.
And you gave some great advice. You really helped me through it, but I lacked, it was a huge opportunity. And I think sometimes with opportunities, you're going to doubt yourself a little bit. So what are your thoughts about self-doubt and something that comes to your mind when you think about self-doubt?
Well, you were right on, you hit the nail right on the head, because I had a quote for us for tonight, and what you said
is
exactly what you just said about your ability is what this quote is leads to. It says, sometimes it is not the lack of ability, but the lack of confidence that prevent us from achieving what we really want. Sometimes it's doable, but self-doubt makes it impossible. And this is just off of quotes, Empire. But what you were saying was exactly right. Because you think about you going to speak at that DARE conference. It's not you. It wasn't that you doubted that you had the ability, because you know that you are a speaker. You know that you're a mentor. You've been a part of the DARE program. So you knew that. The ability was not what was your stronghold. But it was that self-doubt, you know, sometimes that lack of confidence in that questioning ourselves. Like you said, when you are given a platform, that sometimes it's like, I never imagined I would be here. And sometimes that can be a bit much, because then we begin to doubt ourselves, not in our ability, but in, am I worthy? You know, okay, yes, I know I'm a good speaker, but am I deserving of this? You know, have I done enough? You know, have I sown enough? Have I grown enough? You know, what makes them want me? So we begin to look at ourselves through other people's eyes. And then it's not even our own perspective. And it may not even be the perspective of other people, but it's what we think people are saying about us, or even come from other relationships, that we want to take those and put it into that same category. Like, oh, who is you? Who are you? What makes you deserving? Just because you done spoke at a few little conferences, or you done spoke over here, just because you wrote a book, what makes you worthy? What validates you? And so sometimes we are looking for that validation from other people, or we're expecting this validation that says, okay, it's okay for you to speak here, because we say you're validated, you're certified, you're, you know, okay to do this. When we don't have to have that validation, you know, because if you've been given that stamp of approval, you've put in the time, you've put in the research, you know your strengths, you know your talents, you know your gifts, and you know your abilities. Sometimes we just have to be able to own it and say, you know what, I have to do it afraid anyway. Yes, I'm a little nervous. you know, thank God, you know, for this opportunity, but I have a responsibility to show up anyway, in spite of, you know, how I'm feeling. That's my two cents.
I love all two of your cents. Classes in session, truly, because I was writing notes because you hit so many points. And we do, one of the things that people don't realize, I think, coming out of traumatic, bad relationships, I honestly doubted that I could have a happy, healthy relationship. So, you know, and it was, it's the craziest thing. One, you focus on the times you didn't do it right, or nobody else around you have done it. And you, like you said, you doubt so much, even though you know, like if you know what a bad relationship is, you know what a good one is.
Yes.
And, you know, I doubted, like, am I worthy of this relationship? Am I worthy of love? And that's something that you hit, too, with the self-doubt. You know, they're almost the same, you know. With the self-doubt, you wonder if you're worthy of certain things in your life. Are you worthy of this opportunity? And I think kind of rolling it, you know, I think that it'll lead to, if you doubt yourself in one area and you don't deal with it, I think it's like a trickle-down effect, or trickle-up or trickle-sideways effect. It's going to trickle into other areas of your life.
It will. Oh, yes. It most definitely will.
What are your thoughts about that, Queen?
Oh, it most definitely will. I want to say it's like a cancer, but I think that's such a strong word. But it's like a viral infection, any type of infection. If you don't treat it, it's gonna spread. It's just as simple as that. If you don't treat it, if you don't combat it, if you don't validate yourself, I mean, if you don't get it, it's gonna spread. Exactly what you said. It's going to spread into other areas of your life. It's absolutely.
You hit the nail on the head with that. And people, I think people don't realize the seriousness of it, and realize that nobody is 100% confident 100% of the time.
Oh, no.
And it's easy. That's why I love things like Do It Afraid and Do It Anyway. And that's one of my tips as far as, like, defeating self-doubt. Like, challenge the doubt. And like Queen LaVon said, definitely do it anyway. And take action, do it anyway. Like, with the DARE conference, I had already made the commitment, already put it out there that was I not going to go because I was dealing with some self-doubt during that time? No, I made a commitment, and I think that's one of the things that we have to realize. Is it a commitment that you made, whether you signed a dotted line, or a commitment you made to your children, husband, wife, a commitment you made that now you're doubting that you can perform, or better yet, a commitment to yourself? So I would say focus on the commitment aspect of it. Like, look, I got to do it anyway. And take action.
Exactly.
So I could think of, you know, definitely like I said, the DARE conference is the first example that came to mind because it was recent. But is there a particular time or a particular thing that happened in your life where you said, okay, you actually doubted yourself, but you did it anyway? And what was that thing to make you go ahead and do it anyway?
Oh, most definitely. I would say, you know, at the end of last year, almost a year ago, exactly, when I, you know, published my first book, even the weeks leading up to it, the anxiety of, I played on this anxiety of what other people was going to think or say.
Well, I guess Queen LaVon will be dialing back in her call. She dropped, but she'll be back. But while we're waiting for her to get back on, one of the things that I do, and I encourage all the listeners to do as well, is I have a motivation board. So if you think about, hey, Queen, if you think about a lot of people, and a lot of times I talk about vision boards, but I have a motivation board. And on my motivation board, I have different notes from people when I went to speak, different things I've accomplished, and those things. So that way, whenever I get into a woe is me, I'm doubting everything, and I can look at things I've already done and pull some strength from that. And if you don't have notes to create a motivation board, write yourself some notes. Or look at something I posted in a group about, look at people who have been dealt the same or similar hand as you. Somebody, and I think I might have said it in a live, somebody else could take the same hand you were dealt with and win with it. What's the difference between you and them?
Exactly.
Put that person's picture on the board. You know, if I may be wrong, but Madam C.J. Walker, I want to say that's who I'm talking about. But when she started her business, there were still separating colored and white only fountains.
Yep.
So those are things we have to think about to put on your motivation board. What keeps you going? What have you already done? So it's a motivation / accomplishment board, and I, like I said, I have one on my wall along with my vision board, and I have
good
to
idea.
Keep that in front of me. But you were telling, talking about when you published your book last year.
Yes, I'm sorry, I don't know why my phone just cut off. but it was one of those things that I was afraid. I looked at myself through the eyes of other people, thinking what their perception was going to be. Because it was like, okay, what makes you qualified to be a writer? When did you start writing? You know, because for a lot of people, they didn't know that writing was something that I enjoyed doing, that I actually did in my free time. And so people, you know, I played off of those, you know, like, what if nobody come? Even for, you know, when I was setting up the book signing, you know, I was, like, scared. Like, oh, my God, what if nobody comes? What if nobody ordered the books? You know, what if I make a mistake, or what if nobody likes it? You know, what made me qualify? Where did this idea come from? How am I going to prove, you know, my qualification? What do I say? You know, so I play all those different scenarios. But at the end of the day, I love what you said. I began to have to encourage myself. And something that I liked teaching, I've actually done a teaching about it. Sometimes you have to be your own cheerleader. And I just felt like, you know what, I'm going to, if no one else, you know what, it doesn't matter if one book fails. You know, I did something that I wanted to do. Because at the end of the day, did I do it for someone else? Nope. It was, I did it for me. I know that God had given me this vision, that God gave me a purpose, and that I did my part. I could say I fulfilled my part of the bargain, you know, when I've talked to God about it. And I can feel accomplished because I did it. If I can check that off of my regret list, you know, I don't want to be in my last days thinking, oh, I really wish I had, you know, I would have liked to write a book. I would have wanted, you know what, at the end, when you're at the end of your life, the last thing you want to have time for is regret. You want to look back and say, wow, I did that. That's it.
I love,
you know,
everything you just said. And it brings me back to last year when my grandmother passed, in those last few months of her life, and having discussions with her. And it's a lot of things that you, it was a lot of bedside regret or whatever you want to call it when you're at that last moment in life and you think of all the things that you didn't do because you, you know, really doubted you could do them. And I remember, you know, when we talk about I could start in a business, when I started my business years ago, and I remember telling my job, and see, this is, I made a commitment to myself. One of the things I always said when Cameron made 18, I was going to stop working. And so it was always in my head. I've always said it kind of jokingly because I doubted I could start a business because nobody, it just seemed like it was one of those ridiculously impossible things that I couldn't do. What I was going to start a business and who's going to, you know, do my business, and I'm, you know, am I really going to make money at it? And it was something completely different from what I kind of played with and stuff before. But I never forget telling my job, hey, when my son graduates high school, I'm quitting. And they thought it was like I was playing. And I actually thought I was playing too. But the fact that they doubted, it's one thing for me to doubt myself. It's a whole other thing for somebody else to doubt me. And it sometimes that is the motivation we need. And it sucks to say it, but, you know, y'all, this is the Find You Radio. We talk real. Sometimes the fuel that you need is the doubt of somebody else. You know, somebody else.
It's
that
a big motivator.
It is. And it's the truth. Like, I could doubt myself, but how do you have the nerve to doubt me? You know? And we
you get
give
that
people,
I show you spirit.
Yeah, oh, I love that. Somebody hashtag that, meme it, whatever.
You do, girl. That's the quickest way to get that I'll show you spirit. Let them say, no, you can't.
Right. It's one thing for people to think certain things, but when they have the nerve to verbalize it, and you could take it two ways. You could take that and you could let it feed into your self-doubt. Well, if they don't believe in me, then it's not going to happen. Are they God? Is that their name? Is their first name Jesus, last name Christ? If not, then you need their opinions, and I hate to say it like this, but the truth is alike. Their opinions don't matter. And that's kind of like brings into my next tip of adopting a so whatever you say philosophy, a so what philosophy, philosophy. So what if you don't believe in me? So what if, you know, it? So what to whatever? You really have to say so what and stand up for yourself because you never – no, I'm pretty sure, and I really need Jeff Bezos to call Amazon. But I'm 99.9% that while he was fooling around stuff in his with you know Amazon, building Amazon in his garage, people, you know, we probably got that picture because somebody probably took that picture of him. Like, look what this fool doing. That's probably how we got that picture. Of him, you know, or Bill Gates, or think of any of those garage shots. They didn't come from 2018 or the last couple of years. That was somebody taking a picture to probably show them how crazy they looked, you know, and doing my research.
I never thought about it.
If you think about it.
But you're right.
Somebody
probably to send to somebody else.
Yeah,
look what this fool over here doing.
Yeah.
Yes. You are so right.
And there's a picture somewhere else. If you think about the raggedy pictures we see of Oprah when she first started off, there's a picture I saw somewhere of Kanye back in the day looking extra raggedy, trying to learn how to do whatever with music or whatever. Somebody took, I'm willing to put $5 on it, that somebody took that picture to say, look how stupid you look. Mm-hmm. Or look what this fool's doing.
Oh, my God.
We don't think about that.
Mm-mm.
We don't, you know. So that may be the motivation. That picture and that whoever it was that took that picture of him working in his garage, what they took might have took to, you know, put doubt in him and make fun of whatever he was doing. And he probably no doubt was doubting himself. Because what
exactly.
a lot of people don't know, and I do research. It's the reason I get Forbes every month, and I do research. Research where you want to go, just a side note. Amazon was started because he wanted to be the biggest online book retailer.
Wow.
And Amazon, you know, I think his biggest competition at the time was like Walmart or, you know, something like that with the
mm-hmm.
books. I can't remember. They had so many bookstores back then. Who's going to
mm-hmm.
buy books online? You know somebody was saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And so
if
we look at how things, this is why you can't let self-doubt defeat you. If you look at the road of Amazon, for instance, what it originally set out to be, then how it kind of went to selling other stuff almost like eBay. And guess what? Now Amazon is one of the largest, if not the largest, online book retailer. If somebody want a book,
okay.
What you tell them to do? Go to Amazon.
Exactly. Exactly.
See how that came full circle?
Mm-hmm.
And even, and it came, and people don't realize, like, when he saw, okay, somebody was probably saying, oh, how are you going to compete with Walmart? How are you going to compete with Books A Million or whatever those other bookstores? Ha-ha, let me take this picture. And he could have let whatever self-doubt he was dealing with defeat him, or he could say, okay, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to challenge myself, and I'm going to do this anyway. So what? At least I tried. And what if he would have gave up?
You
I know
think
you
what
all
we wouldn't
your
have
right now, huh?
You, but you think what we would have missed out on? I mean, for me, that
mm-hmm.
just hurts my heart to think he could have given up, because Lord knows I love my Prime shipping. I love
okay.
my Prime members.
But if
so
you, but if
like,
you think about it, that but that's a very great thing for people to research and think about when it comes to walking in your purpose. And you know, so we'll compare to Amazon. So you know, you started off being this, and then it ends up going this way and this way. But he didn't give up in the process, even though at that time his original intent it didn't start off that way. But because he even if he doubted himself, because I'm pretty sure he did. He was building something that was ridiculous, unheard of, unseen. He had a whole lot of competition. Nobody really was shopping online like talking about back then.
No.
You think
people were going to bookstores. People didn't shop online
right.
to get a book. You went to Barnes and Noble's. Yeah, you went to the bookstore. And, you know, and you are correct. Amazon is the largest online booksellers. It actually is. Amazon has basically no competition among online booksellers. Yeah. When you're your own
so
competition.
You, say it. Now, when did he start? Because I know you are on research mode. When did he originally start?
Okay, let me get back over here.
So while y'all know Queen LaVon is our go-to scripture lady and the researcher of the show. But that's a perfect example of
it is.
You know, and then even though it went different paths, so you might get
mm-hmm.
to doubt yourself because it seems like your original intention it's like going different ways, even though it's still in line, but it's going different ways. And look how it circled back however many years later.
Because
he didn't give up.
Exactly. I mean, you think, look what he grown out of. Not only did he grow out of the garage, just being an online book retailer. he not only grew out of the garage, he grew out of the umbrella as a online bookseller to being an online retailer. I mean, he retails any and everything, but not only did he outgrow, you know, that umbrella, he created all of these avenues for other people and businesses so that mm-hmm. people all over the world, we have people that are international best-selling authors on Amazon who otherwise book may have never left their city.
Mm.
Thank you. What he grew out of. I know. And he actually founded Amazon July 5th, 1994.
Wow. And then think about the hard work he had to put in because most of us are just really kind of dealing with Amazon with maybe the last 3, 4, 5 years, something give or take,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Really?
And he's been grinding. So, I mean, and he basically changed the world. So
yep.
you never know. That's why it's like self-doubt is the devil. Self-doubt mm-hmm. will keep you from changing the world. Look at Uber. Uber is like a household name now, even though we don't do
Yay!
Uber where I live. You
Got
know how
live?
Somebody said that? No, we don't know. Not where I live. Now, if I go to the city, they probably
okay.
do it. We just getting waiter out here, and that was a whole experience because some stranger
wow.
coming to my door, I made sure the dog was up in the house. But, you know, with Uber, could you imagine the conversations with that?
Mm.
Can you imagine the conversations that happen with that, internal conversations? Because what we don't realize, a lot of times our worst enemy is between our ears.
Oh, God. Not, let me go post that. Jesus.
So you think about in your head, you're thinking, okay, I want to start a business where people just use their phone to get a ride from some random stranger.
Mm-hmm.
This is how it would have played in my head. Because literally, that's what Uber is. Do you and at the now Uber is everything. Like Uber is a somebody will say Uber to describe something else. You know,
and you know they
but
are going public. They are actually in the race that hopefully by first quarter of next year they will actually be on the New York Stock Exchange. That they are actually. So you think, like you said, not they didn't doubt being. Just a local, we're going to start this in a small town to being worldwide.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's important to get with kings and queens on the same mission as you. And I posted this a while back, and John Gray said it in one of his sermons. I can't remember which one it was, but he said, the people that speak into your destiny, where you going. Versus your history. It don't take much to know about my history. You can read a book. You could look at some of the stuff I post online. You know where Valencia has been. But those people
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you roll with, those people that meant to be around and that you need in your life are those people that speak into your destiny. You know, even if it's, LaVon, I don't know where you're going, but I know you are going somewhere. Can I go? And we don't think about that. And, you know, this kind of go back to what people to leave behind in 2018. Look at what they say. Listen to what
mm-hmm.
they say. Are they talking about do you miss going to the club, or do you, you know, if they are they talking about your past life or where you going?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the
mm-hmm.
rare people, because no farmer plants a seed reflecting 2 plants ago. They looking at that next crop, what this seed is going to produce. So that's something to think about with self-doubt. When like I said, I talked to Queen LaVon when I was feeling in my feelings, because really that week before DARE, I never felt that kind of doubt in myself ever in my life that I could recall. And if I would have had that conversation with the wrong person, it would have went another way.
Not good. Exactly.
You know?
Not good. Because they would have fed that doubt.
Say it.
They would have fed that doubt. I mean, that's what, if you don't have the right people, they would have fed that doubt. And then you would have either negated your responsibilities, which could have been detrimental to your, I mean, to your future and to your actual purpose. Or they would have put you in such a headspace that when you got there, you wasn't performing at your best where you should have been.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at those people that you have in your circle, those people that you're allowing to speak into your life, because what she said is perfect. I mean, that's a true queen statement. Are they speaking into your past or are they speaking into your future? And you need, just like you want to watch those and how they drink water, you better watch how they speak into you.
That should go down as like the define you quote of 2018. Watch how they drink water.
Yes, it is.
Watch how they drink water. But those, and I think kind of just like turning the show a little bit, because this, like I said, this time of year, people are really dealing with self-doubt, because they think about all the things they didn't accomplish in 2018. They're thinking about all the things that went wrong. And that's why this time of year, depression is higher and suicide is higher. And I do believe a lot of those things start with self-doubt and dealing with your self-worth. And again, and we talked about it when we did a show a while back on depression. Google one of those numbers. Talk to somebody. I think part of that, and I know what that feels like, especially if you have the people around you that will feed into your doubt.
Oh, yeah.
For the longest time, I didn't wear, real talk, I didn't wear skirts. You would never see my knees, long story short. If I wore, I kept my knees covered because I'm knock-kneed. And that was something I was always self-conscious about. And because I was self-conscious about it, it made me doubt me as a person as far as, like, what I look like to the world. The world's looking at me like this. Mm-hmm. So that affected my, and we really have to connect the dots and look at the spiral effect. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm ugly because of my knees, something I can't do nothing about. Well, maybe now because they have all these surgeries, but, you know, we're talking about like teenage stuff, things I dealt with my whole life. Mm-hmm. And then I had the kind of people that would make fun of me because I was knock-kneed. So I internalized it. I stopped wearing, I made sure if I wore a skirt or anything, my knees were covered. You couldn't tell I was not me.
Oh, wow.
And you may be wondering, Valencia, how does that come full circle? Well, let me tell you. It's hot in Louisiana. Always wearing pants. You know, always feeling like I'm limiting what I wear. It affects my confidence. If I wear pants, can they still tell I'm not me? Are people going to look at me like, you know, because I'm standing this way or whatever? Like, it affected a lot. And there's so many things that kept me from walking in my purpose. One of the things that kept me from walking in my purpose was my knees.
Your actual walk.
Right. Because I'm wondering, like, how can I get up there and go speak and people going to look at the way I walk when I walk away, or when, because you could tell I'm knock-kneed if you pay attention, until I started embracing that about me. And it's crazy, but until I had to start embracing it, like, okay, Valencia, you can't change it. So that kind of brings me to the next thing with defeating self-doubt. Ask yourself this. Why can't I do X, Y, and Z if it's coming to you doing something? So, Valencia, why can't you go speak? Because I don't want people to see me walking, because they're going to be able to tell I'm not clean. They're going to make fun of me. And things mm-hmm. that seem crazy now, but it made so much sense then. Mm-hmm. Can I do anything about it? No.
Mm-mm.
So now,
why were
anybody? Yeah, because now I mean I wow. love my knees, because what I realized about my knees is they give me a unique stand that when I take pictures, it always comes out like a power pose. That's
yes,
not intentional.
Girl.
I'm not me. That's how I stand.
Girl,
so,
you be ready,
and
though.
This real talk. When people say, oh, Valencia, you pose so cute and everything else, I'm like, what? Because I'm really not posing. This is how I stand because I'm not me. So the very thing that was the foundation
wow.
of me not loving myself and doubt myself and keeping me from my purpose is the very thing that makes me stand out today.
Wow. Now that was good.
That's my two cents mm-hmm. on that, Queen LaVon.
That's good. But if we could all get that mindset or begin to see things like that or see ourselves that way, because it is a lot of times it's our own, like you said, that war, that battle that we're having in between our ears and our minds. That's where it starts. We're having that own mental battle. But that one thing that we think everybody is, you know, shushing us and shying us and looking at us, you know, can really be that thing that sets us up to stand out.
Literally.
To be different, because we were intended to be different and to stand out. So for you to, you know, take, and it's like taking that power back from that self-doubt. You reclaiming your power.
If
wow.
you don't defeat it, that's the next thing I have written down. If you don't defeat it, you will fall victim to it.
Wow.
And I've
if you don't
seen
defeat it.
You will fall victim to it. And I can think of areas of my life. I think of people you know that literally have talked themselves out of accomplishing anything, doing anything. I know people, I'm not naming names, have what they need to buy a house, have the desire to buy a house, but because they got so mentally trained to think that having a house is not for them, and because they've been living in apartments their whole life, they doubt they could buy the house, even though all the pieces are there. Everything they need to buy a house is there. But they doubt that it's for them. They doubt that, you know, doubt themselves so much. Like, how I could keep up with a mortgage payment? Well, 9 times out of 10, your mortgage is going to be cheaper than rent anyway.
Amen. Amen.
I was disgusted. I was disgusted when I really thought about that, and really not mm-hmm. just thought about it, but really did the research and was like, what? So
it's
what is self-doubt keeping you from doing? Is it keeping you out of a relationship just because you might have jacked up all the other relationships you was in?
I mean, you can't allow it to be that stronghold. I mean, you can't allow it to be that stronghold for you, though, because like you said, that doubt is going to keep you from walking into some things that are greater than what you are. I mean, I just still just thinking about, you know, Amazon. Think about, you know, even with Apple, with Facebook, you know, with all these different businesses that almost seem like they just came about overnight, but have such a strong following, that has such a strong stance in the market right now, that you think, what that person, if someone had brought into that self-doubt and said, oh, you can't be bigger than an online bookstore, that's all, you know, and said you couldn't do more than that, and you just held hold to just, okay, all I can do is sell books. And you have people over here that's trying, you know, saying, well, can you ship this product? Can you do this? Can I sell this? You know, no, all I can do is book. You just stopped yourself from being greater or bigger than what you are. you know,
that's
what,
why it's important.
What, it's just, yeah, it's just,
no,
wow. I'm just like, is this, if you sit and think about it that way, it is, we can keep ourselves from being so great just because we are afraid to be so great. It's like, how, it does, it, you would think that that doesn't
that's
make
a good
sense,
one.
But we do it. We talk ourselves out of being great just because of the fear.
I have one more example. Netflix.
Oh yeah.
Netflix.
Wow.
Now, and I like to compare it because I, as a businesswoman, I study businesses. I want to know your story. How you started. Oh, I'm just learning about you for 5 years, but you've been around for, since 94. What kept you going? So you research where you want to go, period, point blank, on anything. Not where you at, not where you've been, research where you want to go. You better believe I know the story of J.K. Rowling.
Mm-hmm.
For y'all that don't know, that's the lady that, you know, wrote Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Valencia, why do you know that? Oh, okay, because don't worry about it. You're going to see. I research her. I've researched Oprah. I've researched Jeff Bezos. You know, I've researched Netflix. Why? Because these are household names that we know started by ordinary people. And it's different reasons for J.K. Rowling. Because I am going to name it and claim it and work for it, that I will be a billionaire Black author. I
yes,
will be on the cover
will.
Of Forbes, or that Forbes call me. Now, whether it take 5 years or 20-something years, I'm just telling y'all, y'all can write it down today. Yeah, because I did research on that too, millionaire, billionaire authors. And if you're an author, you should know that.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm getting angry. I'm sorry, J.K. Rowling, I'm not mad at you. But when we go, when we think about Netflix, right, nobody, who was watching movies online? Nobody ever heard
Girl.
Of it. But what's so funny, the people that created Netflix, well, I don't know their name. I don't know. That bothers me. But the people that created Netflix went to Blockbuster. Hey, we got a great idea. We would really like to partner with y'all and make this thing work. Blockbuster. Ha ha. Who's going to do that?
Oh, my gosh. Where's Blockbuster now?
Right. I could tell you what's in the building that used to be Blockbuster out here.
I know. That's what I'm thinking.
I think it's Big Lots or Kato's or something. But you have to think about that. So you could you imagine being the creators of Netflix and you got this hot idea that you believe in after fighting through your self-doubt enough to even create something like that. Then you go to a business that you respect, you know other people use, and they turn you down like you're nothing to invest. So I'd say you take the Amazon approach to everything. Take the Netflix approach to what you do, especially Netflix. Take that, oh, okay, I'm going to show you. It's one thing for me to doubt me. It's a whole other thing for you to doubt me. So look how they demolished Blockbuster because of Blockbuster's own ego. And look at the people that's feeding into your self-doubt. Because some of them may feed into your self-doubt because they feel like you ain't on their level. I'm not saying it's right or wrong for what I'm about to say.
Oh, God.
The following opinion is not necessarily supported by Define You Movement. That's my disclaimer. But look at the people. You know, I had to throw that disclaimer out there because some of them are very Valencia moments. But you look at the people with the ego that look at you like you not nothing because you have the audacity to want to compete with them. And you make it that your mission to not only compete with them, but to completely demolish them or put them. Now, that may not be very Christian-like. But this is, we're talking about, you know, some real life. I don't know what it's going to take for people to fuel that thing. And sometimes the best fuel, the best thing to contradict self-doubt is to have a mission of you can't tell me what I'm going to be and not going to be. Even exactly. if it's in the mirror. Because I've had to say that to myself. Valencia, you're not going to tell me who Valencia is going to be. And that I am my own competition. I went through an issue like, have I hit my height? Can I do another bestseller? Is that my height? Yeah, that's good enough. That's good enough. And I had to have a real life self-talk with Valencia. Mm-hmm. And it was an ugly talk, but it was a real talk. Why not you? Why stop there? About to drop the mic early in the show. I say early, but it's not early in the show, but I'm just being honest. A lot of times, you know, sometimes I'm going to be honest. It's the people that have doubted me. And I can't remember if I said this, probably not last show because we talked about money. But Mother of a Child was the first that I published myself that was a bestseller. And I put so much work into that, into the marketing. I was proud of it. I was it was like having a baby all over again. Did I doubt what it was going to do? Did I doubt everything about it? Yes, but I did it anyway. Because there's something about when you already announce something publicly, you kind of like committed to the world that you're going to do it.
Yes, you are.
And I discuss a lot of personal things in the book, and a lot of people were not happy. I've gotten different messages for people that feel like whatever kind of way about the book. What did I use that as motivation? I'm just going to be real 2018 kind of honest right here. Oh, okay. So let me show you what God put in me and how I know it could be done. How I know this is what I was supposed to do. And a few months after the release of Motherless Child, Through the Valley became a bestseller. So that's how I knew. I had to prove, not so much to them, but I had to prove to me that, hey, you're on purpose. Not just walking in your purpose. You are on
your own purpose.
And so now, me dealing with that issue of doubt of what I could do and whether or not I publish another book that's a bestseller or whatever, I don't doubt that anymore. Because now it's like, why I can't? Why I can't be not the black J.K. Rowling, but the black Valencia V.S. Wallace, and S is my middle name, or V.G. Wallace, whatever. Because when she was on benefits, because that's what they call it on that side of the world, when she was on benefits writing Harry Potter and everybody told her how stupid it was, nobody going to believe in some magical kid in some, please read the story. I'm telling you, research where you want to go if y'all get nothing else to help you with that self-doubt. Research the people that did it. She on the bus writing after being rejected. This story is so stupid. Now she is a billionaire. They have rides named behind a character, this woman on benefits or welfare for us in America. They have rides based off of this woman's book.
Wow. And look at what she is now.
Okay, and she gives back. She gives back. I want to say that, too, because people don't realize.
Wow.
Something I want to touch on, just say real quick, kind of part of our inbox discussions that we have. One of the things that I do when I sew into the area I need or want. And I bring that up because if it's an area in your life that you're doubting you could do, if it's something about you or what you want to do you doubt, find somebody that's doing that thing and sow your love, sow your motivation, sow your support into that area. Because sometimes when I doubt what I'm doing, real talk, it's the queens that sow into me. And because they sow into me, they fill me back up to where I'm no longer doubting myself and I could sow back. And so, you understand what I'm saying? You know, my words get mixed up sometimes. Mm-mm.
No, I so like it, that. I really like that.
Okay. I was wondering, because you know how stuff makes sense in your head, but when it come out your mouth, they kind of turn three ways to Sunday?
No. Because I hadn't really thought about it that way, you know, because I'm like you, I believe in sewing, and I believe in sewing. I've always saw like myself sewing into other people's dreams. If I know people say, you know, if I have someone that I truly believe in what they're saying and they say they want to write a book, you know, then I will, if I see the opportunity, let me buy that coaching package. Let me sew this into this person's life because I think this will be a good fit for them. But, I mean, you took it to a whole nother level because you're saying sewing into your own dreams, and it's not directly as far as, you know, I'm going to invest in myself, but you sewing into someone that you're seeing doing what you want to manifest in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
Because if you're dealing with self-doubt, and let's say you have a friend that's dealing with self-doubt, low self-esteem, sow some words of life into them. And it's so simple. We look for, and I love affirmations. I love affirmations. I love them. I love affirmations. People need to learn how to write them with questions. Write affirmations in question form. Y'all need to Google that because to me they really work.
Oh,
so instead of saying, okay, I could lose 15 pounds, it's more like, why should I lose 15 pounds, and I could easily answer that, or why can't I lose 50 pounds, or what, you know, putting it something that way that it deserves an answer.
Okay.
If your
requires a response.
Yes, say it.
Okay.
And it's a response only you can give. And I'm telling y'all, it works. Sometimes when you're dealing with unconventional things, and if you're somebody that's, like, confident and everything else, when you're dealing with self-doubt and it's like a strange foreign animal to you, you need to take some unconventional methods. Number one, I always prayer, I'm telling you, people, it's not cliche. I'm not just saying it because it's cute. Prayer works.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, honey. Yes, it does.
But don't just pray. Don't just pray and think, okay, I'm good. No, you pray and you continue to speak into yourself and follow those other steps. Follow those other things and do it anyway. Do it anyway. Write that book. Go out and speak. Find out what that person is about after you've researched them off social media to see if that's your future husband.
You better do the research.
That's my 10 cents. I gave all a 10 cents right there. Queen LaVonne, what tips would you give a king or queen that really battles self-doubt? Because I know self-doubt leads to depression.
It does.
Because you will doubt yourself, and you eventually not do anything, and then you'll look at everybody else around you that's doing stuff, and you'll feel like you don't measure up. It's a cycle. People don't understand where it starts. You don't just wake up depressed. It's a seed that's planted.
That infection somewhere. That spread. It is.
Go ahead, Queen. I'm listening.
Oh wow. I mean, that is good. I mean, and Valencia, you've said, oh my gosh. I have so much here.
That's what happens when coffee kicks in.
I know. But I think one of the biggest things you said, which speaks to self-doubt, which speaks to self-worth, which speaks to owning, you know, your gifts, your talents, your power, taking back your power, just everything. And I know you felt like it was a little unconventional, you know, that's why you gave the disclaimer. However, I think it is, it's something for us to think and just let it, you know, just kind of set and resonate in us. Because what if you were to take on that mindset that, you know what, someone may be speaking into my self-doubt, someone may be adding to your self-doubt, someone may be planting the seed of the self-doubt or the doubt itself into what you can do. But if you think, you know what, just because they are the competitor, because, see, sometimes, you know, everybody don't want you to win. You know, we see people going around talking about it's our winning season and everybody attached to me win. But you, some people that you attach to them, but they really don't want you to win. I mean, that's the truth, you know, and you have to hear it here. So what they will paint this picture, they will have a very sly way of painting that picture of self-doubt in you by telling you, oh, but you know, I remember when I started out, it was this hard, or you have to do this, and now everybody's doing it. You know, they will begin to give you all of this negative. All of this negative talk. Girl, but that's what happens. And so they, knowing that you are in competition or because they are a little bit prideful, they will begin to say those types of things. But it's us, like you said, what if you take those words back and you not only take them, but you get in a position where you require them to take the words back. And not only do now your competitor becomes, you know, your customer.
They become black.
That's the mindset. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's what I was thinking about when you were saying that, you know, you think they told Netflix, they told, and I think I want to go back to it. I had their name, Hastings and Reed, I think was the name, the two names for the guy.
Okay.
Yes. Reed Hastings and Mark Randolph. When they start, when they, can you imagine when they walked into that business meeting and had this proposal, and you think they came with good intentions? How about we pull our resources together? I'm bringing you this idea where you can not only, it's going to be a mutually beneficial business deal for us both, but Blockbuster is looking at them because they're not forward thinking. What Queen, what Queen Valencia just said, they weren't thinking, they weren't speaking into their future. They weren't forward thinking. Like, no, who's going to want to do that? Nobody's going to want to be looking at videos. You know, people don't care about coming. People like coming to Blockbuster. But see, what they didn't, you know, think about is that the, at that time, in, well, this was 1997, I think, when they were founded, the internet wasn't as big as it is now. See, they didn't see the potential for the growth. And so we have to make sure we have people that can see our potential for growth, because they may say, you know what, you're in the garage, but I see you in one of those towers sitting in the center of New York. You know, I see you. They be able to speak into that future. So what happens if we were to change our mindset and say, you know what, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but you know what, I'm going to do it anyway. Because I believe in this. I believe in me. You know, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, it's something in my gut that's telling me this is the right thing to do. You can't allow self-doubt to destroy your purpose. You know, you just can't.
I want to go one better, because it just came to my mind. And a lot of people probably don't remember this because people probably barely remember Blockbuster. Such a distant, inconvenient memory.
God.
Do you remember when Blockbuster tried to start a mailing service where they, because remember, that's how Netflix started, with mailing it. And then, but they were forward thinking. So then, okay, well, we're going to try this online thing. But a lot of people don't remember how, that's how Netflix started. And they were successful in mailing the movies, that whole service. And you remember when it seemed like Blockbuster tried that for a split second.
Yeah, it didn't work
because
I remember
late.
Us doing it. Mm-hmm.
You tried it?
Yes, I
and
remember that.
And whatever
happened
to Redbox? Is Redbox still around?
They are still around, but they are becoming more and more of the past because Netflix is still, I mean, and even now you think from Netflix has come, you know, you got Hulu and you got, gosh, so much, Sling TV, a Sling
Prime
TV,
Video.
Whatever. Yeah, Prime Video. So you have, but even, it's for me, it's like they birthed other things, and it's not like you're taking away from us and what we have to offer. It's like the, we talked about the bread aisle.
Mm.
It's room enough for all of us, you know. I'm gonna let me stay over here in my lane. I'm gonna cater to the people that you know I'm intended to cater to, and then let Prime Video cater to the people that it's intended to cater to. It, but in the beginning, they didn't. They it's not like they didn't want to share the wealth. You know, they're you know when you go to Blockbuster, like come on, we can do this together. You know, that was their loss. Look at Netflix now.
First they doubt you, they laugh at you, then they try to compete with you, and then you demolish them. Hashtag Netflix mentality for 2019.
Oh, but you have to add the last one. At some point, they're going to have to learn to respect you.
Okay. See, that's putting a nice edge on it, but yes, definitely.
And
to me, they should be teaching Blockbuster, that whole thing. And if people put you could teach it in business class, but you could teach it as a learning experience in life. That Netflix, and if we kind of go back to Amazon, because I really need Jeff Bezos to call me. I want to pick his brain. I just need a good 5 minutes. I promise I could get a whole lot done.
Okay? Yes, he could.
But do you think of, if we think of Walmart, and if anybody has done some research, looked at them numbers and everything else, they have Walmarts closing left, right, and sideways.
Yes.
While they're trying everything. I love self-checkout. They have, you know, now it's Walmart.com, which I use frequently. But if you think about Walmart, and so at the time, when Amazon was really building his, if I'm not mistaken, their competition was Walmart. Even for a long time when they started to get into other products. And, of course, the Waltons just laughing. We ain't going nowhere. Who is this little online company? And now they doing grocery orders and started delivery as well, even though they don't deliver to my house. Not yet. But you have to think about it, and you think about how Walmart, and then you could kind of get, you could even take that as a lesson in do right, because Walmart put a lot of smaller businesses out of business.
Yes.
They came to dominate, take over, no holds barred. They wasn't trying to share a piece, and it's too much money out here. So can you imagine your business, air quotes, your business, your idea, your life, the things you want to accomplish, and you looking at the biggest people, that would be like impossible. That you talk about self-doubt, like I'm competing against Walmart, who am I? This little stupid idea I'm building in my doggone raggedy garage, and they already billionaires? Who am I to write a book to try to compete with J.K. Rowling? Who am I to try to lose weight so I could become a famous bodybuilder and teach kids about health, because the obesity rate and juvenile diabetes is ridiculous? But my closing thought for the show is like two things. Why not you? And so what? I'd rather a oops, like that quote says, I'd rather a oops than a what if. What if you didn't pass your man up because you doubted you could have a healthy relationship? You didn't pass up a whole millionaire, for instance. you doubted.
Could have been a real queen.
Okay.
What you done passed up the king of some island.
You know?
Yeah. Yes. It, exactly. Yes.
Hit it. Because I feel it. I feel that you're about to say it. Go ahead, queen.
But I'm not going to start with the queen of Wakanda. But, I mean, you think, what if she had been like, I'm too broken. The last relationship was so bad that I don't want to ever be in another relationship. You done passed up being heir, I mean, to a real kingdom on earth. Wow.
And we could talk about all the things she had going against her that they don't allow. So that's another way to defeat self-doubt. You've got to be willing to break some rules and say, you know, so what? I mean, oh, well. She was divorced. She was American. Or, you know, I think she renounced her Americancy, which is not a word. But, you know, and she was black. You breaking rules from you? Then you older than him. We not having those kind of shenanigans up in this palace.
Like not
we
in
not
this
having
kingdom.
It.
No. Jesus.
Do you know how many people probably came to her? Which I understand why she distanced herself from some of her family. And friends. You know how many people came to her in the process of them, quote unquote, dating? Girl, please,
you
they don't allow
the
no black person
heard
up in the palace.
Yeah. That's what I was just going to say. Can you imagine all the stuff she heard? The negative, the doubt that was planted.
You just a fantasy of his. He ain't going to never take you in public. Now she about to have a whole, she extending her airness
because
she prayed.
Yep.
And you never saw her, you know, like when you see pictures of her, she looked like, I belong here. And there's no way she didn't take that trip, you know, with not just the press and her family and everybody saying all these negative things about her, her knowing all the things she had against her. Because if I'm not mistaken, that's like was one of their laws that like they can't marry somebody that's been divorced.
Wow.
She had a whole marriage up under her belt. And of course, when did we learn all about this? When she had the audacity to think she was one day going to marry this man. I didn't even know who she was because I ain't never watched the show.
But now you know everything. I mean, now after you find that everybody, they telling you everything about the child business.
Right.
Everything.
So I would say where I said build on your Meghan Markle confidence. That's a hashtag MM type of confidence, Netflix type of confidence, because everybody they talking to her probably can't even come up in London right now or talked about her. That's
they'll
my
start
five
pulling out the old pictures.
Out.
You know they'll start pulling out the old pictures now. You remember when she looked? You know what? It's all right.
That's okay. Why I post some of my old pictures. Even when I look like a young Tupac with my blue pearls on. So can't nobody come out and say, look what Valencia used to look like. Because I actually, real talk, I know we like got like 5 minutes left. I actually had somebody related to me ask me, and I say related, but, you know, one of my daddy wives, ex-wives, asked me if I had like some surgery, if I had surgery like on my face or something like that, because how I look, I promise on everything I love, because how I look as a kid where I had a more round face, and that's really the only thing that changed. I had the same nose and lips and stuff, but a more round face, like certain things about, no, I grew up. I grew into Valencia.
Yeah.
But that made me, honestly, I was like, do I look that much different? Is people thinking like I had surgery or something in my face? Really, I had a moment from something I knew wasn't true.
Mm-mm.
If I had surgery type of funds, I wouldn't have surgery on my face. Probably add some hips.
Girl, be like, look, ain't nothing wrong with the face. There's some. If I wanted to have some surgery, there's some places
right.
I would invest into.
But not my face. Not at least not mm-hmm. right now. Now, what I may or may not do in 10, 20 years, I'm not gonna say. But at this point, I just grew into me, and I think when you start to love yourself and appreciate yourself, certain things about you do change. Because I used to hate my big lips, and now people buying them. So I shine them
girl.
Up. Every picture I take, you better look how shiny them lips is.
You are so crazy. But you are so right, because they are people paying for that.
You know?
Paying for it.
Paying for these. I never forget, my cousin used to call them soup coolers. And other terms I won't say. Some of y'all
but now
probably
it's
know
like,
them.
You know what? They had them, honey, going out their way trying to get them.
Mm-hmm. And I got these all natural.
I know.
Lips. That's my closing thoughts, Queen LaVonne. What would you like to leave the audience with tonight?
My closing thoughts for the audience is one. Tonight, Queen Val has given us some great examples of coming from the garage, you know, and I've heard someone say going from Pastor Sarah Jakes Roberts actually did a sermon entitled From the Prison to the Palace. And that's what this tonight's topic has been about, taking that mentality, you know, that prison mentality that holds us hostage, which is self-doubt. That you can break those chains and you can actually move to the palace like our princess, what's the last name, Mae Markle?
Yeah.
I think that's her last name.
Megan.
But just,
we're going to
just
say Megan like we know her.
Just a Megan. I know. Megan. That you can actually take that, because you can take those insecurities, you can take that self-doubt, and you can take those words, that negative talk that other people have spoken into, but be able to speak into, sometimes you have to speak into your own future, but then look for those people that are willing to do the same thing, because I promise you, there is someone that is looking at you and thinking, oh my God, you know, they have it really going on. They look like they got it all together, but they don't understand the war that is raging inside of you. So you continue to show up for yourself and continue to show up for those people that are assigned to you and get you a team, get you a tribe. Doesn't take but a handful that's going to be willing to speak into who you are and where you're going. And until you get that group of people, get you a motivational board, get you a vision board, get your affirmations. Be your own cheerleader. And that's my thought.
And with that being said, I don't know if we ever ran the clock down that quick.
I don't know.
That being said, kings and queens, if we don't do, make sure you're following us on Instagram and Facebook to see if we're going to do another show before the year is out. But with that being said, take all the lessons from 2018 and enjoy life, because YOLO, you only live once. With that being said, y'all have a great night.
Good night.